just learned.
I know, I tried that before.
Okay, we're up to page 169. On page 169, we have two more halachas to do. Okay, we have two more paragraphs, two more long paragraphs, then we'll do the Mishnah Berurah. Halacha Tezvav, Kasav, Rabbeinu, it's on page 169, Simen Reish, Ayin Tes, Kasav. Kosav Rabbeinu Rabbi Yisrael Sefer Simen Gimel B'Sefer Torah Shemimsu Bo Gimel To Oyos. Of a Sefer Torah, if you are learning from the Sefer Torah, you find three mistakes. Also, Likloi Spoy Ad Sheyagihenu. You're not allowed to read from it until you check the entire Sefer Torah. Ki Hu Muchzak Bit Bin Bin Bi Miuta Ad Kan Lishon. In other words, you correct the three mistakes.
Where are you, Rabbi?
Page 169, Tesvav. Page 169, Tes Vav. One more time. A person is writing a person, they're learning from a Sefer Torah, and as they find a mistake, they correct the mistakes. You find on a column three or anywhere three mistakes in the Sefer Torah, and you correct the mistake on the spot. Now, during the weekday, if you know how to do this, you know you have a Sefer. Everybody say, okay, please. You can correct the mistake, you know, Migur Hadin, you can correct it with a pen. Some people go crazy over this. Rabbi Isai, please. You can correct the Sefer Torah with a ballpoint pen, by the way. Okay, you're laying on a Monday, Thursday, and you find the psul, you get an aliyah, find the psul, you see the letters, it's an old Sefer Torah, it's not connected. So just take out your pen, in the middle of the aliyah.
You need
and
black ink?
Black ink. Or it should be, the blue should be very dark blue. If it's very dark blue, it's also good with the Yavet.
A Sharpie.
What?
With a Sharpie.
No. Sharpie. No, any pen. Any pen, a ballpoint pen, a Bic, not a dime a dozen. It doesn't cost a dime a dozen anymore. Plus plenty of money, but Meikar Hadin. And don't try this at home because many soifrim will just totally guard their mind. They'll get very upset because that's not the Mesorah. Whatever it is, but it's a Mefarish in the Kesa Sefer, 8 Shel Barzel. There is no halacha, you have to use a kulmus. A kulmus is a reed. No one uses reeds today. They use turkey feathers. Turkeys didn't exist. This is a modern invention. The turkeys did not exist when the Torah was given. Turkeys came into existence after July 4th. They tell you that's Thanksgiving only came into existence after the July 4th. So those people. So it says the Pharisee. So why is using a turkey feather? Turkeys were not known. It's an American bird. They're not known when they wrote the Torah back 2,000 years ago. So the Dead Sea Scrolls were not written with turkey feathers. So what do they write it with? So the Gemara is a kulmus, and that's why a kulmus. Kulmus means a reed. Go down to the sea. You take a reed because a kulmus. What? Well, and the Gemara says, why a kulmus? I've got, what does the Gemara say? The kulmus because Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the Yam, or something like that. Well, you remember the Gemara? I don't remember the reasons. It's a medrash. Why you use
the Nile?
The Nile?
Saved by the bulrushes in the Nile?
Something like that. The Zecher for Moshe Rabbeinu, I think, that Moshe Rabbeinu was thrown into the Nile, so because of the Zecher, whatever it is, but it does not say anywhere that you're supposed to use a turkey feather, a turkey wing. A feather for a writing of a Sefer Torah. So once already you're not going to be traditional, there's no need why, if you want to be traditional, so be traditional. If you don't want to be traditional, so you can use an 8-shell barzel. You can use a pen made from iron. And it says you can do this, says this Beferish in the Keses HaSefer, which is the authority for the laws of Hilchoy Stam.
What about the ink?
The ink, as long as it's black.
Doesn't have to be made of sherm.
No such thing. It's the only thing that the Gemara says the ink should be is that you should be able to erase it. That's what the Gemara says. Diyoyah should be yachol, it should be able to be erased. We don't, a problem, that's another problem, that it's not true today anymore. The ink today that they use on a Sefer Torah is more permanent than any ink that you can possibly buy in any stationery store in the entire world.
No, but if you take a
knife, so then you're scraping it off from beneath the surface. But the ink itself cannot be erased. The only way you can remove ink on a Sefer Torah, the ink that you save for Sefer Torah, is by cutting a thin layer of the parchment itself. The parchment has some thickness, and the way you erase the letter is by slicing away the parchment.
If you take a look at old Sefer
Torah, before 1950 maybe, or before 1950, but after, I would say, 1950, the ink already, the technology has changed, and the technology continues to change. Some of the very good cipher, the people who are real professionals, it's an art in making their own ink, adding ingredients. Some cipher like the ink to be more liquidy, some like it a little bit thicker. It depends on the time of the year, in the summertime, the wintertime, how much humidity there is in the room. There are a lot of factors. But the bottom line is today, the ink, all the inks are being used today, cannot be erased. That's a problem. And why? And all the point. I mean, why don't we? Why is that not a hinder that it should be able to be erased? I have no idea. I guess the assumption is because if the ink can be erased and you fold up the parchment, you'll take it out. It will smear. It's going to smear. It's going to chas v'shalom. Leave it in a car in the heat in 200-degree temperature. Forget it. It'll be possible for sure in 5 minutes. You have a hot day. You have a mezuzah. It can smear. I don't know, but whatever the reason is, today our inks are not traditional. It's not what it says in the Gemara, where you're able to actually take a little a pointy object and scrape on it, and it'll come off. It's not going to happen today. Like they say, think about Sefer Torah, you go get an aliyah and you take a talus. Oh, it used to be not. You shouldn't take your talus and kiss it because you may cause the letters to come off. Believe me. You can sit there the whole day with your talus. The letters are not coming off in a new Sefer Torah. I'm not talking about an old Sefer Torah. I'm talking about a new.
Old Sefer Torah runs like mascara.
Right, old Sefer Torah. On a new Sefer Torah, try it all along. However,
you see the Sefer Torah that I saw you would see. It was in a basement in Far Rockaway for a year. And when I went, they told me to look at it. It was like every omud, the ink was just running down the ground.
The ink was not quality. The server did not have quality. It was defective ink. It could happen to you also. Okay, therefore, things by Hilchos Sefer Torah are not necessarily traditional. Now, we had Rabbi, he spoke about this, Rabbi Sulfur is Rabbi Cohn. Rabbi Cohn spoke about this, is that today, to know that, and my brother in fact showed me, is that you know, they have now in Eretz Yisrael, became a big craze, plastic kolmos. Problem with the kolmos, turkey feather, no, it's done, they all do it. They all do it today. It's plastic kolmos. The problem with the kolmos, I take a course in Safras, it wears out. Turkey feathers wear out. After about a half a column, either you throw it out, or you got to sharpen it. Yeah. It doesn't last more than half a column, the most. Wow. Maybe a whole column, and that's it. And it's a lot of work. You got to go, and you have to cut it. It's an expertise. It takes a lot of time. Part of the course, it's going to be a whole day teaching you how to make a kolmos. You have to cut it on an angle. You have to slice it down the center. Two-thirds should be, the slice should not be down exactly the center. It should be a little bit to the side. It's an art. How far should you slice it down the center so the ink flows? There's a lot of chachma, a lot of art, and it all depends on the sefer himself. Every sefer has their preference, their skill, how fast they write, how much pressure they apply, and all of these things contribute, and what kind of ink they're choosing to use, and what kind of parchment they select for themselves. All of these are variables which change the dynamics of writing. And if you don't go sharpen your kolmos, then the ksav is going to look different. No matter how nice your ksav is only as good as your kolmos. So if after you don't go make a replica of your first kolmos, it's not going to look the same when you get down to the next line. You get down to the 20 lines later. So they did. So someone very smart in Eretz Yisrael went and they took some plastic material, which is does not wear, there's no wear and tear. Okay, it's some type of synthetic material which will not decay, not get rubbed out, and they made it a replica of a kolmus, exactly the same size and the same angle in the cut. It's done by lasers, by computer lasers to make it exactly perfect, and it's a machaya. So a sofer doesn't need to go spend a whole day, all sorts of new sofer, learning how to cut the kolmus and patchkin, cutting and sharpening and doing this. Just get down to the business. Get down to the business of writing, and you don't have to worry that your kolmus is going to get worn out, because it's never going to wear out. So this became very, very popular, and the old sofer say it's not traditional. It's not traditional. The tradition is to use a kolmus. Problem is, those who are traditional, they're using feathers, turkey feathers, in Eretz Yisrael, which is not. By the way, in Turkey, the number one consumer of turkey in the world, the number two consumer of turkey in the world is Israel. Israel. America is the first number one, Israel. So even though turkeys don't live in Israel, it's all imported. I don't think there are any turkeys growing there. They raise in Israel also in factories. Turkey farms in Israel, but it's not their natural habit. They don't come from Israel. They import them, they raise them. But the point is, so anyway, there's a big fuss. There's a big machlokes. I think all the dust settled. Everyone already will be miyayish, and everyone does it, and no one says boo. They use the plastic. Some seifim use a plastic kolmus. Wow. So if you use a plastic kolmus, you might as well already use a pen. And the only issue with the pen is that the pen, you know the ink, where did the ink come from? It's Dover HaMina Mutter Beficha. Today, 99.9% of all the inks and the pens are synthetic. There's no issue whatsoever. It's not the same type of ink as, you know, the ink they use for Seifrim use, because the ink the Seifrim use is a very powerful ink, which is not going to wear out, and it has a thickness to it. But if you get an Aliyah, and in the middle of your Aliyah on a Monday, Thursday, in the old Sefer Torah, there's a psul. So, Me'ikar Hadin, you just take out of your pen, your pocket, your pen, your Bic pen, or any pen, doesn't make a difference whether it's ballpoint or whether it's a fountain pen or there's a lot of new technologies, all these new technologies, it doesn't make a difference. If it writes, it writes.
Have you ever seen it done?
What? Yeah, I did it myself.
In the middle of the Kriya,
I think I once saw it done. And I saw the old time Seifrim do this with the regular pen. With the regular pen, they had a regular pen, and there are special pens that they used to use.
They sell a special pen?
No, you buy in the R. So when I took the course, the one who taught us how to write was one of the biggest Seifrim in Borough Park. He's not well now, I think. I don't think he does write anymore. His name was Markovich. Markovich. He wrote many, many Sefer Torah. He taught us umnis, halacha and this umnis. Rabbi Wozner's grandson taught us halacha, and this Rabbi Markovich, he taught the umnis. He was a master, and he had in his pocket all these, you know, he came to teach us. He was a Hasidic fellow. He had a vest, and he had in his pocket all these pens, and he said that he uses the pen for like tagim and for corrections, because to go take a kolmus,
he walks around with a razor blade too, right?
Sure. To go take a kolmus when you want to make a very, very teeny correction, and you want to go take a kolmus with dyoi, it's very messy, and it doesn't work very well, especially on the old Sefer Torah. And you're not in your shop, and you don't have the precision, the accuracy on your tools available. It's much, much simpler. So he had a regular special pen, a very special pen that he bought in an art store, and he told us where to buy it. Now you buy everything online. And in fact, I remember he gave it to me. I asked him, where do I get? See, you just have mine. He gave it to me. It's like cost like $5, $10. He gave me I guess he was already almost out of ink already. He gave it to me. It's like a regular pen. I looked on the label. Like, I think I have it at home somewhere. It doesn't work anymore. But I just have it for reference. I want to go out of the pen again. So the truth is, you can use even a regular ballpoint pen maker. I didn't.
Why not a cross pen?
Why not a cross pen? I understand what you say. All I can tell you today is, I can tell you this was probably maybe 15, 20 years ago, I don't know, but all I can tell you today is, we live today in a different world. Okay, we live today in a different world. And today, if you're going to do this, okay, you're going to go take out your ballpoint, your big pen, when you get an Aliyah, and you go around the Sefer Torah, you know what's going to happen? Someone's going to take out their smartphone, they're going to take a picture of what you just did, and they're going to go and they're going to email it, and before you turn around, you're going to be put in the cherim, and all your shidduchim prospects are gone. Okay, for your children, your grandchildren, at Seif Kaladaris. You're finished. So, why? I don't know why. It became a new generation. I called this a Rabbi Friedlander. I told this a Rabbi Friedlander in Eretz Yisrael. He's also one of the big paiskim in Stam. He has a grandson, Lonan Torah Vadas. And I used to ask him different shilas, a very good Talmud Chabad, I asked him different shilas about, and I told him I did this. I told him that I and my father, Shul, we had an old Sefer Torah. I told him I took a ballpoint pen after the advice of Rabbi Markovich. And I made a mistake. So it was an old Sefer Torah. And he went out of his mind. He went berserk. He went totally berserk. And he told me he's going to ask his grandfather, Yosef Wozner. And he came back to me like a couple of days later. He says that you only can make tikkunim in the Sefer Torah with a kulmus and dioi. Kulmus and dioi, nothing to talk about. So I said to him, that's not what I don't believe he said that. Because all of the Seferim, B'li Yotzim and Aklal, are not using a kulmus and dioi for corrections. They use, he came to show, they use pens, they use specials. What they do now, in order to be more religious, they have there's a new pen now, a special pen where you put in cartridges, and the Seferim, they make their own ink, and they put their own ink into these cartridges, and they use a certain type of pen. So the only thing is they upgrade, instead of buying a pen from the store, which has the ink and everything is ready to go, they buy this other type of pen, which, I know, it's a little bit different, and they make their own ink, and they put their own ink into this pen. But this goes on, Maisim b'chol yom, b'chol eis, b'chol shah, especially today, as Rai Cohn told us, is that many Seferim today, they don't bother doing tagim. It's not worth their time to do tagim. They write a mezuzah, they write a Sefer Torah, they want to go quick, they get paid, they're very underpaid, it's a very hard parnasa, they're not getting paid very much, it's not worth their time to do tagim, it's a very long time to do tagim, so they just write this quick, they have a beautiful ksav, they write a whole Sefer Torah, a whole Megillah, a whole tefillah mezuzahs, and then they pay someone pennies to go fill in all the tagim. When you fill in the tagim after it's already dry, you're not going to use a kulmus and dioi. It's impossible. They use the pen. They have a special pen. They go and they do all the tagim with a special pen. So it's done ma'isim b'chol. I don't know why he flipped out. I remember his reaction. He went berserk. He flipped out. He told me it's shlik halach. It's shlik adin. You know, and do this and this and this and this. And he told me, Rav Yashin, I don't believe it. I don't think he told me it was accurate because it can't be that everyone is doing that like Rav Yashin. And Rav Yashin was known to be from the biggest poskim in Hilchastan. And he can't tell. I don't know what he was talking about. But that's my fond memories. Rav Wozner also was a very big poskim. Was also a very big poskim in Hilchastan. He was the rub of the Vadim Shmer Stam, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Axelrod. Kvoy Haraf. Yes.
You mentioned that it would go viral if you did use the pen.
Yes.
Years ago, Lila Nishmas Meir Yankov, he donated Sefer Torah to Abbas Mekrish. A member, Tzivis Oitzis, was in the corner, and he wanted pictures taken. So it was before Chaim Chaikel's Bar Mitzvah. So I suggest, why not have Chaim sit down, hold the pen. Mayor then said no, because years later, someone might see the picture, and he would think that a cut and wrote the ice.
Wow.
That's number one.
Wait, who are you talking about? Zlatowitz?
Mayor Zlatowitz.
Wow.
Yeah.
His name was Mayor Yaakov?
Sure.
Mayor Yaakov.
And Rabbi Harun.
Okay.
And the second, Mechavit to a Mayor, don't quote me. They have special magic marker, not special, magic marker, which they put a little label on, said the Shem Kedusha is
right,
filled in.
Yeah.
And people, it's regular, it's not...
Made in China.
Yeah, it's a plain marker.
Plain marker. Shoe polish. I remember going to a cipher many years ago, my Ritzus before Black, he had regular shoe polish.
Right. But you told me you couldn't use it later for your shoes.
Yeah, right.
Why not?
Yes, that's right.
Why not?
No, my father would.
You put the ingon l'shem mitzvahs tefillin.
You didn't use.
So you shoe polish. You buy shoe polish. You make your tzumas black. If you use shoe polish, make your tzumas black. It's scandalous. Why? I don't know why. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with using shoe polish. What? There's nothing wrong with shoe polish. Today though, also, and another story. Today, you don't have to. It's difficult. Today, you don't have to. Anyway, everyone now is buying the black and black. They take the ritzuas, they soak it. Before they sell it to you, they soak the leather in I don't know, in some paint, in ink, whatever it is, and it's saturated with black. So, therefore, you get a scratch, it's black. It never wears out. It's black on black. So I remember many years ago, there was a very big Rosh Shiva, and he brought his soul into Teferis Stam. He was here in New York, whatever, and he was down in Chaim Berlin, and I got a call the night before. It's a very, very big Rosh Shiva, public figure. He's in all the Gedolim pictures and all the papers, you know. And it's a someone was around, and he knew that I know how to change the dollar, how to fix the dollar. So can you make sure you come early tomorrow to davening? Because we picked up his tefillin and there was no one there to adjust. He got new ritzuos. He got new ritzuos, there's no one there. We need someone to change the chain, to adjust the dalet. So come early. You'll be zoicha. You'll have the zchus of adjusting the dalet for this very big Rosh Hashiva. Fine. What a covet. No problem. So he got new ritzuos. Let me hear, because that was the time when they just came out. It was becoming popular. The black on black. I have the black on black. It's a mechaya. You never have to go and never have to even look. It's always black. So I said, did he get the black on black? Did he get the black on black or tzuas? So he said, it's interesting you asked that question. He ordered the black on black. He likes it very much. He's so narrow to his show. People are doing getting popular. And he ordered it. And then the very last minute, he changed his mind. Why? He says, because he says, no. He says, since it's new and it was controversial. The reason why it's controversial is because the Gemara talks about if it's mahapech, the mahapech, the lavan, the shochar on the lavan, you turn it upside down, so it's pasul. Yidayotze, if you're going by the kesher and it's turned upside down, lo yotze, that applies today also. Just because it's black or black, if you turn it upside down, lo yotze. Because the Gemara uses the terms lavan, shochar, and lavan, that indicates that the underside of the ritzuah should not be black. So this was an objection. Right, it's not the same consistency. It's shiny. That's shiny.
It's not as black.
And it's not as black, right? It's as black. But this was an objection that was raised by, I don't know who, I don't know if this came from Rabbanim, came from ordinary people, I don't know who. People always like to, Chodosh, Osama Natara, I don't know who made this. But this was a objection that was raised, and there were many people, at least in the beginning, until it was Kevon, the Doshube, Rabim, Doshube, until it became popular, people still were they held back. They didn't want to buy the black on black. Even though all the Poiskim, the big Poiskim, came out and said, it's good, it's okay. So this big Rosh Hashiva, who wanted he would order the black on black, because for him, in his eyes, it's much more important that the ritu should be black instead of this chumra of shachon lavan. But the very, very last minute, he changed his mind. He says, because since he recognized that he's a public figure, and everyone looks at him, and they come ask him shilas after davening, and they're going to see he's wearing black on black, they're going to take his hanhaga as the haskama for the tzibur that it's 100% kosher. He feels it's kosher, but he doesn't want to get involved.
Is it still a shiny?
He doesn't. What?
No,
it's not
a shiny.
No, the underside is not shiny.
Wait.
But he says this is not his thing. He doesn't want to get involved. He doesn't want people to go say, he does this. Leave me alone. Just get me the black on white. Like the cookies. Just get me the black on white. Oh, as I found it very interesting. So I came early to daven. So this is very typical. My whole life story. I came early to daven. You know to do it. And sure enough, there's another macher there who found out. Who wants to be in the pictures? You want for the atet the pictures of this Rosh Hashiva putting on. He's in America and putting on tefillin. So he of course wanted to be, the big macher to do it to get in the pictures. So he gave me the elbow. He gave me the elbow. So I'm doing this. Get out of here. Okay. So be it.
Back
what?
Should have given him back an elbow. 2 points.
Yes.
One, if you have a piece of, let's say, cow skin.
Yeah.
And you're going to use it for resuas.
Yes.
La locha, you can split it in half.
Okay.
And use the bottom.
Okay.
But on condition that the top half has to be the top.
Okay.
Even when you cut it.
Okay. Okay. That's halacha and shulchan aruch about that's a shulchan aruch.
So the way they make it is when they put the dye, they put it through a. If you're in photography, Aaron will know it. When you do the heating, you want to get a glossy cover. You put in a steel plate, a shiny plate in your heater. They run it through a machine that presses on it.
Yeah.
So one side becomes
shiny. Okay.
So they can do any side they want.
Right, of course. But they want to show this is the top.
Right.
So this probably makes shiny. And the bottom is just black.
Right.
And the advantage is, there are two advantages. Number one is very big. There are two advantages. Number one is, first of all, this is a very interesting thing. There's a machloikis between, people don't realize this. And this is important, it's a pelvic, no one's machped on this. There's a machloikis, let's say you have the regular black and white. Classic, traditional, bar mitzvah boy, black and white. So the very top is black and the bottom is white. What about the sides? The ritzus are thick.
Right.
What are the sides? Those are called the chudin. The chudin. The Mishnah Berurah makes no mention that the chudin have to be black, and that's why they're white. The keses ha-sofer, which is really the primary posek for all matters of stam, paskins. I think afilu b'di'eved, it's possible if the chudin are not black.
Wow.
And no one used to do this. There are yechidim who knew this. You see in camp in the yeshiva, they would roll up. Once they were able to go buy the nail polish or the magic markers, you take your ritzus. They would roll up the ritzus, make a ball, and they would in fact paint the chudin, l'shem kedushas tefillin, and they would make the chudin black because the keses hasefer says the chudin must be black. Lo yotza. No one does this stuff.
You can only do it from one side.
Why only one side?
Right.
You turn upside down.
Why?
What do you mean one side? Both chudin. You can even just do it like this. Just take a magic marker. You take
a
magic marker.
You have to open the cashier to do it there too.
Not necessarily. I don't know if you're that far, but you have on the cashier. You have to make the chudin. You have to make the chudin black. This is what it says in the Kesef Sefer, and no one did this. This was not done at all. Period. Until some yechidim started, they started doing it. Whatever, some yechidim did it. There's a very big advantage that when you have the black on black, when you have the black on black, the chudin is black.
We can do it here.
What? The chudin is black.
Do it tomorrow. Bring it, Phil, and take some pictures. Put in the
paper.
And I'll donate the marker.
You can make so the black on black has that chumrah. If you're desperate, Rabbi Yisrael, for a chumrah. Some people are desperate for chumras. I'm looking for kulis, but some people are looking for chumris. The black on black has that advantage. Besides, you don't have to worry, is it black, is it not black, they get worn out, it's always going to be black. The chudin are always black. So you yoytze the shita of the keses ha-sefer, which is a pella, why no one was ever makbid on. People, I've heard people say this. No one was ever makbid on the keses ha-sefer. Well, everything else was makbid on the keses ha-sefer. Every halach, every kula, there are a lot of chumras in the Mishnah Berurah, which we don't follow. We follow what it says in the Kesef Sefer. And when the Kesef Sefer is machmir, all of a sudden that we don't want to know from that. We follow the Mishnah Berurah that you don't include and do not need. Okay, so it's just something very interesting. I remember two nephews. I was involved in getting their tefillin. So the first nephew is also a little while ago. It was a new thing. The black and black was still new. So I said to myself, I'm not getting him the black on black because, you know, he's a bar mitzvah boy. I don't want to go, he should look strange. People could look at him. Everyone in the class has black on white. He has black on black. I'm not going to, whatever, I'll just get him the regular. When he'll get older, Kyle will get older. When he'll buy a new pair of tzuas, he'll do whatever he wants. But I'm not going to go and force upon him something that he should be different. When it came to the next bar mitzvah boy, make sure you get the black on black with tzuas. They gave me instructions. When you buy him, everyone in the class has the black and black ritzus, so make sure when you buy the bar mitzvah boy, the ritzus, you order the black and black. You see how things have changed? It's a whole new generation today where everyone today has the black and black.
Okay, you mentioned about the kesher.
Yeah.
There's a big machlokes. If you want to borrow someone's tefillin and you want to change the kesher to fit your head,
yeah,
you may not be yoitz according to some shitas because
since 24 hours.
You're gonna, right, it's not going to be around. The other guy's going to put it back.
We don't follow that sheet.
It's not a kesher shel.
It's a chumra that we have not heard of. I heard that once, but that's, it's not, it's not accepted.
And the other thing is that
it's not accepted.
If you find a Sefer Torah and you want to start writing with your pen, I think you have to find out beforehand who Sefer Torah is.
Okay, I wouldn't dare do this on a new Sefer Torah. When I did this, dealing with a very old Sefer Torah, which if you give me 3 minutes, I'll find you a psal. And you lay in with that Sefer Torah with a fraction of one eye. Not one eye, fraction, half an eye. Okay, so this was a very old Sefer Torah, and if you're going to start taking a kolmis with diyai, it's going to bring up, when you know you add diyai to an old Sefer Torah, it's a disaster. It causes the old letters to come up. It doesn't, and also the parchment has it's old. The old parchment
doesn't have the same absorption.
There's no absorption. It gets very, very old. You can't even write on it. They have to only use pens. Even the pens don't work.
I have a sefer, and when it comes to Parshas Pinchas,
yeah,
which you lay in the
all worn out.
Everyone who looks at it finds a different issur. So you have 20 different corrections, which are horrible because it. The corrections are worse than the...
It's menumer, it's a shayla.
I know what's right and I know it's wrong. You
don't, it's a shayla, it's a menumer. So these are... Okay, you got to be careful. I would never have taken a pen, a big pen, to a new $40,000 Sefer Torah. Don't get me wrong. I'm dealing with a Sefer Torah, which... You know what I'm talking about, okay? It's a whole different type of situation. But I have no doubt that you're allowed to do it, and I even actually saw Sefer once do this. You can do it on the spot. So over here, in the middle of the halacha, you finish this paragraph, here in the halacha, you do this three times already. You already made three corrections in this Sefer Torah. Once, and it's correct, but once already there's a chazaka of there being psulim in this Sefer Torah, you're not... The Sefer Torah. That's what it seems to say. The whole Sefer Torah is nechshad. You're not allowed to lane from this Sefer Torah until the whole thing is checked from beginning to end. That's what he says. Once you find three mistakes and you correct the three mistakes, it's until you correct it, you check it from beginning to end. It's muchzak to be mistaken. There's a chazaka that this Sefer Torah has mistakes. Ad kan l'shoinai. There's a halacha that bitoilim, but when it comes to worms, bitoilim the asim mi'alma loy amrin chazaka zu b'davar d'minei korabu. Suddenly, where it grows from it itself, you have food, and you find in the food a worm, a bug. So where did the bug come from? Did it come from the outside, or did it grow from the fish itself? So the only time you say a chazaka, only where
it came from itself.
From itself. So the ha-ha-ha, havik mod asim mi'alma. Over here, it's something which loya min chazaka surak b'davar d'minei korabu. V'ha-ha, havik mod asim mi'alma. It came from the outside.
Yeah.
What do you mean came from outside the mistakes?
The mistakes weren't organic to the Sefer Torah. It was the cipher who was writing it who made a mistake.
So you don't say in this case chazaka, something which comes from
an external source.
You don't apply the rule of chazaka. The loy kosher klal. No, he doesn't like this svar to be makel. Adrabo, hocha havi kiminei korabu. Sho ono roim shas sefer hazeh. The sefer it's the same sefer. He is a corrupt person, or he is a person that's not paying attention. He's not writing well. The hoch over here muchsak litois. The sefer shas sefer hazeh muchsak litois. He has a chazak to make mistakes. The yesh mishoimer another end. The im shnei seferim o yoitzer kasvul lesefer Torah. Oh. If you know for a fact that this Sefer Torah was written by more than one Sefer, then Enoch Nami. Just because one Sefer is mistaken does not mean that the other Sefer is mistaken. And another heter. Only time that you have to say the whole Sefer Torah is plus only when you find three in one shot, and it's before you've corrected the three. So then you have to check the entire Sefer Torah. But if once you have already corrected the three mistakes, then it's a clean slate. Then you can start all over again. Kol hanig biyachal kodim hatikun al kanim she echad or shnayim betiknim, you fix it. Shuv ein hashlish she mitstarif, but if you fix one or two, and then you find the third mistake, we don't combine the third mistake. V'chein zeh rakish adayin lo huna chasev Torah zu mi'al huga chasev Torah zu mi'al megia. Aval keshekavar huna huga. Once when it's been corrected, lo yichashin l'gimel tu'usim. Once already you had it corrected, so he missed three mistakes. But since already it was checked by an expert, we assume that he got all of the other mistakes. There is no chazaka, and you're allowed to use the Sefer Torah in the future after you correct these three particular mistakes. Ula Anias Taiti, he writes, Eimei Kein, I disagree with the Svara, the Soif Kevin, Sefer Torah Zu Mugzekes Begimel Ta'uyos, Nemeilo She'ein Lo Cheskas Kashu, She'emagia Ovat Cheskas Kashuso. The checker, the one who checked it, obviously did not do a good job. He lost his cheskas kashrus. The Sefer Torah is becheskas problematic. Even if many seferim wrote the Sefer Torah together, it does not make a difference. Sefer is less than chazaka kashrus. Since there's so many mistakes, it must be all of the seferim who contributed to its writing were not exact. Who should take say sevator misukenes mitachas yad hasoifim uveloy hago ein? It's impossible. It's impossible for a sofer to not make one mistake when he writes a sefer Torah. I told you the statistics are. I've been told this by a sofer. The statistics are the average sofer makes approximately 30 spelling mistakes in the writing of a brand new sefer Torah. 30 spelling mistakes. That's the average. The average. And therefore, if you have a brand new Sefer Torah, it's never been checked, you are not allowed to learn from it until an expert checks it from beginning to end. If after it was checked by an expert and you discover three mistakes, that indicates that the person who checked it did not do a good job, he lost his cheskas kashrus, and you have to check it all over again. And that's halacha. Like I told you today, there are many poskim. Rabbi Rosner, he would not make a bracha on the Sefer Torah unless it was checked by computer. He felt even the people who check Bizman Hazeh, they don't do a good job. It's not shach niskatnu hadayros. You don't have the ability to go through 300,000 letters, 305,000 letters, and being paid $100 and do it in 2-3 hours. You're not going to be able to go catch every mistake. You need to have it done today in our day and age by computer. There are three levels. I was told a number of years ago there were three. And Eretz Yisrael is a business. It's an industry in and of itself. And checking the Sefer Torah, because according to halacha, even if you check by a computer, you still must have it checked by a person at least once. If you don't have a computer, you have to have it checked three times. With a computer, the place can say once is enough, but you have to have it checked. And who checks it? So there are three different. This was told many years ago. There are three different madrigals. There's $100, $200, and $300. Those doing $100, they read it up like speed reading. Like they're done the rip and they're good. By the way, they're very good. Don't underestimate them. They're very good. They'll catch 25 mistakes. There are 30 mistakes that they'll catch. The five they'll miss, but they'll catch. So those five you learn on the computer. And the people that are very good, the people that you pay $300 for, they will catch every single mistake. That's their skill. That's what they do. This is their mind. People, Hashem made people
anybody
know with
ever
minds.
That?
What?
Anyone ever test that?
Test that statistic?
$100. It's okay.
I'm sure these people have a lot of pride in their work in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael, Baruch, Eretz Yisrael, it's a big paranoia. So people are a lot of suffering. There's a lot of going on. People write to Torah. And there's an industry. People who check. And there are experts who are known in the field of checking. I know there are people who know they're experts. Everyone, every mikzoy we know, there are people who have expertise. And this is an expertise in checking Sefer Torah. It's a very good pranasa. If you can do it, if you have been gifted with a mind, or you're able to do this, you're able to go very quick and to check and to make a nice pranasa. So why not? Amcha Yisrael Tzrichim Pranasa. Put your skills to good use. Okay, let's finish up. We're out of time. Let's finish up. Last paragraph. I want to finish up this page. Tazayin, this end of the simon. This simon comes from over here. Kasvu atur b'shulchan aruch simon hey in dilek shnei shitim gimel. It's not in the gilach lemaisa. If you skip two rows, two shitim gimel lo yimcha gimel shitim v'lichtav mebrokim dalid ayhei shitim v'hachnis mashe dilek m'nei shemayr haksav. If you skip two lines, a server doesn't pay attention. So we skip two lines. So he has to now erase. He has to erase a whole bunch of lines and write what he was missing very, very small. So it's going to look funny. Everything else written in much, much taller, much wider. And here you're going to squeeze in. Why? If a person that's slavery skips two lines, forget about it. If you skip two lines or three, depending on your size, two or three lines, and you're going to have to go and erase and make it very, very small, better you should remove the entire urea. Fine. They don't follow this halacha. They do it and they fix it anyway. I guess they know it's parnasa. It's to a loss of work. If you make a mistake and you forget that it's a parsha psucha or parsha stuma and you write continuously, you have to erase, you have to squeeze the letters in so it doesn't look right, it looks funny, it looks menumar. So again, you have the same exact issue. If it's only kimenumar, it looks funny, then it's not possible b'di'evet. B'din zeh shalatur b'shachnoach mefurish ma, I don't know what that means over there, b'mas, I don't know, hatoya es hashita v'goyer achas eshtayim bovad shalo yigur esholosh ayin shav v'chabar b'yayin v'zeh b'sin v'esh ayin vav sif yudal ayin shav mi b'di'evet ein amakim k'mash kosa b'ein ramah. So b'di'evet, anytime something is mishum menumar, it's not mechudar, but it's still kosher b'di'evet. It's still kosher through the Sefer Torah, like you're saying about Pinchas, right? Meir, you told him about your Sefer Torah, the Parash Pinchas, there are a million mistakes, and they're all corrected, and you open it up and you say, what in the world happened over here? So it's not mechudar, but it's kosher. It's kosher b'di'evet. That's, by the way, the sheet of the Aruch HaShulchan. If you remember, then we went back, he quoted Poiskim that say, menumar is mamish posel b'di'evet. If something looks very abnormal, and the abnormality, he says even three abnormalities, even though it's spelled correctly, but it looks abnormal, he quoted Poiskim that say it's posel afilu b'di'evet. He rejected that. He says, how could that possibly be? The Rambam has a very complete list of things which disqualify b'di'evet, and the Rambam did not include menumar, things that look a little bit strange. He did not include that in his list. So therefore, how can you go say that it's pasul afilu b'di'evet? That's why he says it's kosher b'di'evet. As long, of course, all the letters are written kahalacha and they're all there. Everything is there. It just looks a little bit strange because everything until now is one size and all of a sudden everything shrunk. Everything is been shrunk or been compressed. Or you have corrections, a few corrections, so it doesn't look so nice. B'di'evet is kosher. Stop.